Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
That I found in you, Lord, I've come to weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away. By the power of your love, sing, hold me close.
Father, for tonight. As we wait on you tonight, and as we hear your word, may our hearts be changed. May our minds be renewed. May we increase in our knowledge of you. May we have a deeper understanding of what your will is for us. And may our lives be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's read from verse 28. Romans 8, reading from verse 28. Can you come down a little bit for me, Fredo? It reads, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God." How many love God? You sure you love God? Then I want you to have that assurance in your heart that God will cause everything to work together for your good. Amen. Everything will work together for your good. This word must stay grounded in your heart. That because you love God, because your trust is in Him, everything will work together for your good. Amen. So everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, the next verse shows us what His purpose is for us. "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son." That is God's ultimate purpose for all of us, that we'll become like His Son, so that His Son will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. The glory of the Lord is upon you. And the glory of the Lord is over your life. And my prayer for all of us is that we will see a manifestation of that glory of the Lord that He has already released upon us. Amen. That is why Isaiah wrote and said, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." May you experience that glory in every area of your life, in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Now, this year we declared it as the year of becoming more like Jesus. That was our theme for the year 2024. And in just about a month's time, 2024 would have come to its close. Hallelujah. Now, becoming more like Jesus is a very important quest that we should embark on, because that is what is God's ultimate purpose and will for our lives. Amen. That we will become more like Jesus, that we will become like His Son. And it's my prayer that all of us can see some significant progress in our lives in this regard. That is to say, looking at where we were at the beginning of the year and looking at where we are at now, it's my prayer that we can all see some significant progress in this area. That is to say that we are becoming more like Jesus, or we've come closer to becoming more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there are different things that we must pursue in order to become like Jesus. And tonight, I want to start sharing with you one of the things that we must do, or we must follow after, in order to become more like Jesus, which is that we must seek to have the heart which Jesus had. We must seek to have the heart that Jesus had. Because till we have his heart, we cannot become like him. Is that easy to understand? So I'll be sharing with you on the topic, becoming more like Jesus, having the heart that he had. Becoming more like Jesus, colon, having the heart that he had. And I'm going to stay here for some weeks because I believe that it is a very important subject to talk about, especially as the year is coming to its close. Becoming more like Jesus, having the heart that he had. Now, everybody, I want you to place your right hand on the upper part of your chest, close to the breast area. So this is the upper part of your chest, in case you don't know which part of your body is called your chest, okay? And then towards the left breast area, place your hand there. Now, hold it there for a while. And just focus your mind on what you're doing. Can you feel something beating? Can you feel that something is beating? There is serious trouble if you can't feel it. Then it means that something is very wrong. But can you feel that something is beating there? All right. What is that thing? Say that again. Say it one more time. All right. So what you feel beating is the organ in your body called the heart. It is like a pump which circulates blood throughout the different parts of your body. Amen. And it is a very important organ in your body. It is so important that when it stops beating, it means that what? You are what? You are dead. It doesn't mean that you are in love. It means that you are dead. That's what it means. And don't believe it when somebody comes to you and tells you that when I saw you, my heart stopped beating. Hey, that's some crab in here. When your heart stops beating, it means that you're dead. So when you can't feel it beating, it means that something very bad is happening to you. Now, when I talk about having the heart that Jesus had, I am not talking about this organ. And I needed to take you through what I took you through so that you can get it right from the very beginning. That the heart that I'm referring to is not this pumping mechanism in your body. The heart that I'm referring to in today's sermon is the center and the seat of your physical and spiritual life. That's what I mean by your heart. Or that is what I mean by heart. It is the center and the seat of your physical and spiritual life. So your life is basically made up of a physical dimension. And physical in the sense that it relates to your body and to material things. So that part of you that relates to your body and to material things, that is what that is the part of you that is physical. So that is one part of your life. It is physical and it's related to your body. It's related to material things. But there's another part of you, another part of your life, which is spiritual. Now, both lives, your physical life and your spiritual life, are controlled and directed by a part of you called your heart. And that heart is like the center and the seat of every aspect of your life. If you take a car, for example, The heart of the car is the engine. That is the heart of the car. The engine of a car is the heart of the car. So you may have heard this statement before. Don't mind the body. Mind the engine. So you should be more concerned about your engine, the engine of the car, than the body of the car. In fact, in some countries, the police drive cars that do not look very impressive from the outside, but they have very powerful and strong engines that if you think that you can outrace them, you'll be surprised that this car that doesn't look very nice can actually move with such power and with such speed. So the engine is the control of the center and the seat of the car. That's how it is also. Your heart, my heart, is the center and the seat of our physical and our spiritual lives. Hallelujah. Heart, as referred to in my sermon title, is also the seat of your will, your intellect, and your emotions. The seat of your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Hallelujah. Now, your will is that part of you that controls the choices that you make. So your will is your power of choice, power of making decisions. It lies in your will. When I talk about your intellect, I'm talking about your mind, your understanding, your reasoning abilities. That's what your intellect refers to. And then your emotions are your feelings. And I'm explaining to you that your heart is also the seat of your will, of your intellect, and of your emotions. Number three, heart, as referred to in my sermon title, is the fountain of our thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. Heart, your heart is the fountain of your thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. Now, a fountain is a structure that discharges jets or streams of water by mechanical means. That's what a fountain is. And your heart is like a fountain. And what it discharges are your thoughts, your passions. Your passions have to do with the things that you feel very strongly about. Your desires, the things that you want. Your appetites, the things that you want, or the things that you feel for. Your affections, your purposes, and your endeavors. Your heart is the fountain that discharges all of these things. So I need you to understand what we mean by heart. And I've explained to you that it doesn't refer to that physical organ in your body that pumps blood through your system. That's not what I mean. When I talk about having the kind of heart that Jesus had, the heart I'm referring to is the center and the seat of your physical and spiritual life. It is also the seat of your will, of your intellect, and of your emotions. Did you write that down? And then the third thing is that it is a fountain that discharges our thoughts, our passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. That is what your heart is. And this thing called heart that we are talking about today, there are a number of scriptures in the Bible that talk about it. Let's look at a few of them. Which scripture comes first to your mind? Is there any scripture that comes to your mind? That's what comes to your mind. Yeah. That's good. That's Jeremiah 17, verse 9. All right. But I think that the very first, you know, as I was putting this sermon together, the first scripture that came to mind, Proverbs 4, 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. From the New Living Translation, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. It means protect it. Shield it. All right? Don't drop your guard about it. Why? Because it determines the course of your life. So this is like the third definition that I gave to you of the heart. It's like a fountain out of which comes your thoughts, your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, and your endeavors. All right, so that's one scripture that talks about heart. And the Greek word there is cardia. Cardia. So that's why we have that expression, cardiac arrest. Somebody has entered into cardiac arrest. It's like the person is having what? A heart attack. So that's what it is. Okay, so it's from the Greek word cardia. Another scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. It talks about this thing called heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. New Living Translation. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it is referring to the center and the seat of your very existence. And it says that when you are trusting in the Lord, put all of that, this thing called your heart, into it. And then Brother Theo mentioned Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10. Let's look at that. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. It means I can deceive. And desperately wicked. Now, desperately wicked means it's so wicked that you can't even understand it. The human heart. The human heart. Then it continues, who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So here it's talking about the heart, which is what we are referring to. So the heart here is not that pumping mechanism that you felt just around your left breast area and you felt it pumping. All right? And there are different type of heartbeats. Some are regular, some are irregular. If your heart is not beating in a regular way, it may be a sign that there's a problem. Even though, depending on what activities you engage in, your heart may beat faster or it may beat slower. You know, your heart is more relaxed when you are asleep. But then when you are involved in, it doesn't stop beating. So that's an interesting thing. Ever since you were born, in fact, from the time that you took shape in your mother's womb, your heart has been beating. I think that it's one of the wonderful things, you know, that parents can see, you know, when they go for a scan and then the doctor points out to them that, do you see that thing? That thing that's doing that thing, that is the heart of your baby. And I think that it's a very special thing. I didn't have the opportunity to see that. I don't know why. Ma, do you know why the doctor didn't ask me to come and see? You saw it. Did you see it? But why didn't you ask me to come and see some? You, it's okay. Before I realize, not the whole message is turning into something here. Okay. So that's not what I'm talking about. This heart that I'm referring to, I think I've explained it enough to you. Let's look at another scripture that talks about the heart, shall we? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Right? Brother, can you pick the pulpit for me? I think my hand is tired. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. So you've seen that word there again. Heart, right? Right? All right. Okay. Then let's look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35. Remember, when you're coming for service here on Wednesday, that you're coming for a teaching service. Times of Impartation is a teaching service. Okay? So come expecting to be taught. Matthew 12, 34 to 35. You brood of snakes. Jesus was facing some people. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So from this verse, you can see these verses, you can see clearly that your heart is a very, very important and critical and crucial part of your very existence. Very, very important. Now, to become more like Jesus, we must allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work on our hearts, that center and seat of our physical and spiritual life, that seat of our will and intellect and emotions, that fountain that discharges our thoughts and our desires and our affections and our purposes and our endeavors. For us to become more like Jesus, we must allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work on our hearts. Until we have the kind of heart that Jesus had. Hallelujah. Why? Because till that happens, we cannot become more like Jesus. I repeat what I said before, that to become more like Jesus, we must have the kind of heart that he had. If we don't have his kind of heart, we cannot become like him. And so to become more like Jesus, something must continually happen in our lives. We must agree and partner with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to work on our hearts until our hearts become more and more like the heart of Jesus. It is when that happens that we will become more like him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a lifelong process. It's not something that, you know, you get to a point in your life and you say that I have achieved it. It's something that is a lifelong process. And as long as we dwell in this physical body and we live in this imperfect world, there will be something that the Spirit of God is working on. There will be something that the Word of God is working on. Otherwise, you will be saying that I can get to a point where I don't need the Spirit of God, I don't need the Word of God to work on anything again or to improve anything more in my life. You know how sometimes when you get your report card, even if you got A in all the subjects, sometimes they will write, there's room for improvement. All right? There's room for improvement. And I think that the reason why that is written is so that you not become complacent. It's to challenge you to do better than you've done before. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. So to become more like Jesus, we must allow the Spirit of God and we must allow the Word of God to work on our hearts till we have the kind of heart that Jesus had. Now, this, of course, raises the question of what kind of heart did Jesus have? What kind of heart did Jesus have? Certainly, there was a certain kind of heart that Jesus had. And we can see it in how he lived his life, how he related with people, and generally how he handled things when he walked the earth. Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, was connected to the kind of heart that he had. Amen. So we are interested in knowing what kind of heart that Jesus had. Because if you don't know the kind of heart that he had, how would you be able to progress in developing that same kind of heart? You must know what kind of heart he had. And that now becomes the target and objective that you pursue after. The first thing that I want to talk about concerning the kind of heart that Jesus had is that he had a pure heart. Everybody say, he had a pure heart. Say it again. Jesus had a pure heart. His heart was pure. And so if we are going to become more like Jesus, we must allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work on us until we develop the same kind of heart that Jesus had. And the first thing we are noticing about his heart was that his heart was pure. What does the word pure mean? Pure means clean, clean. It also means free from corrupt desire, free from corrupt desire, free from sin, free from guilt. That's what it means, pure. It means clean. It means free from corrupt desire, from sin, and from guilt. Pure also means free from falsehood, free from falsehood. That's what it means, pure. It also means sincere, sincere. It means genuine, genuine. Another word, blameless. Then the last word, innocent. So when you hear that word pure, it means all of these things. Clean, free from corrupt desire, from sin, from guilt. Free from falsehood, anything and everything that is false. It means sincere. It means genuine. And it also means blameless and innocent. And the heart of Jesus was all of these things. He had a clean heart. He had a heart that was free from corrupt desires, from sin, from guilt. He had a heart that was free from falsehood. He had a sincere, a genuine, a blameless, and an innocent heart. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus was not born with the nature of sin that you and I are born with. And it is one of the reasons why his heart was what it was. He did not come into this world with that nature of sin. All of us are born into this life with a nature of sin, passed on to us by our original ancestors, Adam and Eve. And your ancestor is not a monkey, a gorilla, or an ape. Don't believe any of that nonsense. Alright? Don't believe it. They say every one of us looks like one animal or the other. Okay? But it's just something that is being said. And I see people putting up all kinds of things that they run some tests and they say that they are like cheetahs, they are like tigers, and all of that. And they seem very happy. I don't know what's wrong with them. Yeah, they say that you are like a cheetah, you are like a tiger, you are like a lion, and you are very happy about that. We are interesting, aren't we? Human beings. All right. Now, Jesus had a pure heart, and this was behind everything that he did or said. So much so that nobody could truly charge him with any wrongdoing, except by false accusations and misinterpretations. He had a pure heart. And so pure was his heart that it influenced everything that he said and everything that he did. That there was nothing that you could bring up against him. And if anybody were to come and say that I have this and this and this against him, it's false accusation, or it's a misrepresentation, of maybe something that he said or he did. That is why when they brought Jesus before Pilate, they did everything that they could. But he told them that, I can't see any problem with this guy. There is no fault with him. There's nothing wrong with him. And the scribes and the elders of the people and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they bribed people to come and lie about him. And what they came to say, you know, were partly true. All right? So they came and they said that he said that when we destroy, that we can destroy the temple, and within 3 days he will build it up again. But Jesus was not referring to the temple in Jerusalem. So he said that, but he was referring to the temple of his body, and was referring to what was going to happen to him during the crucifixion, where he would die, he would be destroyed, but after 3 days he will come back alive. So his heart was very pure, and it influenced everything that he said and did, so much so that there is nothing, there was no uncleanliness with him, there was no corruption with him, there were no evil motives with him. He was squeaky clean. That's the kind of heart that he had. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. Verse 19. It was the precious blood of Christ. Now notice what he says after that. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was sinless. He was spotless. He was clean. There was no corruption with him. And it is because he had a pure heart. That is why he exhibited a sinless and a spotless life. This is Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, testifying about him. He was with him. He saw him virtually every day for 3 years. And he testified about him that he was sinless and he was spotless. John, the apostle John, was another person who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He also had something to say about him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 to 5. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. Then he ends by saying, and there is no sin in him. There was no sin in him, and there is no sin in him. And if anybody knew it, John knew it, because he was called John the Beloved. And he seemed to have a very close, special relationship with Jesus. So much so that when they were looking, trying to find who amongst them was going to betray Jesus, they knew that if John go ask him, he go talk him. All right. So he knew Jesus intimately. And so he testifies about him that there was no sin in him. Hebrews 7:26. Joshua, stop talking. Hebrews 7:26. It says he is the kind of high priest we need. Because of the end, he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He was never stained by sin. He was holy. He was blameless. He was unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. So what are these three scriptures that I just read to you from 1 Peter, from 1 John, and from Hebrews revealing to us? What these scriptures are revealing to us, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus was sinless. He was pure. He was blameless. And I'm submitting to you that it is connected to the kind of heart that he had. He had a pure heart. Remember one of the earlier scriptures we read in Matthew? He says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth everything. And a bad man does what he does because his heart is bad. So it means that once the Bible is describing Jesus as somebody who was unstained with sin, there was no sin in him, he was sinless, he was spotless, he was holy, and he was blameless, it is because he had a pure heart. And that is why he was all of these things. Now, there are some things that we see about Jesus that point to the fact that he actually had a pure heart. Number one, he was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. It proves that he had a pure heart. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. When we are tempted, sometimes we sin. In the case of Jesus, even though he went through every kind or type of sin that we experience, he never sinned. And it is because he had a pure heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Remember that we are talking about becoming more like Jesus, having the heart that he had. All right, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Verse 15. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. You see, it was important that Jesus became man to experience everything that we go through and still stay pure. This was what was going to qualify him to be our high priest forever. But there was a reason for him to taste of life here on earth, the corrupted and stained life here on earth. There was a need for him to experience it some, so that he can understand what we go through, so that when he's advocating for us and when he's speaking for us, he can do it with a lot of compassion. So verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy or compassion, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The reason why we can expect grace and mercy from Christ is because he understands what we go through. But the point must be made that Jesus Christ was tempted in every way as we are. There is no temptation that we go through, that we experience, that Jesus didn't go through. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, that the temptations of Jesus that we read about in Matthew 4 were not the only temptations that he experienced. Otherwise, it will make this scripture untrue. He experienced all kinds of temptations with girls. He experienced it because he had a lot of women in his ministry. And there's no way where there's a record that he did anything bad. So he was tempted. Or do we think that he didn't have feelings? He did. Because he became man. He became flesh. He had all the feelings that we go through. He could feel hunger and want food to eat. He could feel tired. He could feel weak. He went through, he experienced all the different things that we went through. But because he had a pure heart, he did not falter even once. So the proof that Jesus had a pure heart, one of them is that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. Amen. Now, to help you understand what leads to us doing wrong things and sinning, look at James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. James 1, 14 to 15. Temptation comes from where? Our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Next verse. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So notice here, the Bible is describing that when we are tempted and when we go through our challenges, it is connected to our desires that are some way. And these desires are discharged from the fountain of our heart. So it is because our hearts can be a certain way. That is the reason why we do certain things. Look at Matthew 15, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 15, verse 19 to 20. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Everything bad, the Bible is saying, comes from the heart. Everything bad. Now, we like to classify some things to be the bad of the baddest, and some other things are okay. It's not a problem. All right? So we talk about murder, we talk about stealing, doing drugs, smoking, drinking, fornication, adultery, and all of these things. So, human as we are, we feel that these are the major problems with us. Once you're not engaged in any of these things, it means that you are pure. You are not pure. And Jesus points it out here. He talks about lying. He talks about slander. And there are many other sins. Evil thoughts. That's where he started off from. It doesn't occur to the average Christian that when you have evil thoughts or bad thoughts or wicked thoughts, it means that you are doing something bad. But as far as God is concerned, it is a bad thing. And the wages of sin is what? Yes. So what you deserve, what we deserve for our evil thoughts is what? Death. So do you understand why there was a need for God to do something about our problem? Otherwise, there was no way we could make it to heaven. And we would have had to end up banished to hell with the devil and all his demons. He needed to do something about this problem. And Jesus is explaining that all these things that we do, they are coming out of the heart. The impure heart. That is what gives rise That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the things of life, they emanate from the heart. So once we see these bad things happening in our lives, it is because there is a problem with the heart. So in the case of Jesus, we didn't see any of these bad things associated with him because there was no problem with his heart. His heart was pure. The heart, again, that was the scripture that Theo referred to in Jeremiah 17:9. Says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. That's the problem with the heart that was affected by sin. And sometimes you don't even know what is in your heart. And I also want to say to you that there are some things that you may not have done yet because certain opportunities have not presented themselves. Never be too sure of yourself. Never. Which is why one of the prayers that we must pray all the time, Psalms 139 verse 23 and 24 from the New King James Version. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's one of the prayers that we must pray all the time. Spirit of God, search me. There's a song that says, search me through and through, till my heart becomes a home for you. Search me through and through, till my heart becomes a home for you. That's a prayer that we must pray all the time. And we must submit ourselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. Remember that the Word of God is a mirror. It mirrors a lot of things to us. And it shows us a lot of things. And the Spirit of God also shows us a lot of things. The Word of God is not only a mirror, it is also light. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto, and light exposes all kinds of things. And we must submit ourselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God all the time to search us, to see if there be any wicked way in us. And often there is, but we may not be conscious of it. In our heart, there's pride, there's envy, there's jealousy. There are impure thoughts. There are evil thoughts. All of these things emanate from the heart. But because Jesus never exhibited any of these bad things that we are talking about, it proves that he had a pure heart. And another thing that shows that he had a pure heart was that he was never corrupted by the pressure of the people. He was never corrupted by the pressure of the people. What do I mean? Last scripture, John 6 verse 14 to 15. John chapter 6 verse 14 to 15. New Living Translation. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed. This was after the feeding of the multitudes. Surely he's the prophet we've been expecting. Then what did they want to do? When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. He did not allow the pressure of the people to corrupt him and to change his agenda. He did not behave like a typical politician. He didn't do that. Because a typical politician is swayed by the masses. And there's a belief that the voice of the people is the voice of God. Now, this looked like an opportunity for Jesus to accomplish the goal for which he came. And in the Old Testament, there were prophecies about the Messiah coming, that was going to be a king and everything. And here the people wanted to make him a king, and he had the support of the masses, but he didn't allow himself to be corrupted. Many of us, when certain things come our way, we get corrupted. We get corrupted. And then we end up putting aside our beliefs, our convictions, and what we have. But Jesus Christ was never corrupted by the pressure of the people. Why? Because he had a pure heart. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue next week. But remember again that we are talking about becoming more like Jesus, which has been our theme for the year 2024. And we are zeroing in on having the kind of heart that Jesus had. Because till we have his kind of heart, we can never become like him. And next week, by the grace of God, we are going to continue and go deeper into this subject. God bless you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for today, and thank you for what we have heard. Our prayer to you is that purify our hearts. You are the refiner. Let your fire go to work in our hearts and purify our hearts. Burn anything that is impure, that is not correct, that is evil, that lingers on in our hearts and in our lives. May we become more like Jesus as we press on in this Christian race. Holy Spirit, help us to become everything that God wants us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.